kind of a weird transition to say this talk is about happiness. And I deliberately chose the title, Happiness is a Choice, which hopefully will become obvious to you in a few moments. Could have chose joy, because joy is safe. And because joy is typically the word used in Christian gatherings. Actually, joy is a fruit of the Spirit, and it causes me to actually to somewhat discount it as a choice. If you're walking with Jesus, it flows from you, because the Holy Spirit lists it second in a collection of fruit that will flow from your life. Isn't that cool? Love, joy. But happiness is a choice, and it's also a biblical word. It's not just for certain occasions like we had yesterday in a wonderful wedding celebration right here in this room. The Johnsons celebrated their son's wedding to Cole, to Haley Carlson, and it was just, man, it's magic. I mean, there's every wedding, there's a woman in white, right? But which is enough to knock you over, hopefully, if you're still, you know, breathing. But he was dressed in his blues. He's a lieutenant and had a saber. Hello. It was cool. So, and happiness. You didn't have to say, hey, folks, time to be happy. You know, that would have been stupid. I mean, of course, everybody was happy. And there were even tears, happy tears, right? Think of our country, though. Think of something that's very dear to us as a country. The Declaration of Independence. Right, asserts that men are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. They need to change that word. It's hard. But anyway, unchanging rights. And that among those rights are what? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So it's a big deal in America for Americans who put it in sacred documents as well. It's my unalienable right. It's not going to change. You can't take it from me. Life and liberty, freedom, and the pursuit of happiness. Prompting a question for me this morning. How's your pursuit going? You know, the pursuit of happiness. Are you successful? Do you sit here this morning and say, you know, I'm not just pursuing it. I have pounced on it. It's mine. Are you successful sometimes? Occasionally? And let me follow it with another question or two to kind of frame our thoughts. Is your happiness, your pursuit of happiness and your experience of happiness, does it have something to do with being married? Is that how you would answer or finish the sentence? I'm happy because. Does it have something to do with children? I'm happy because I have children, or they're grown and gone. I don't know. Children are part of my happiness. And let's just get right down to it, because it's on somebody's mind in here. Is it money related? Easier to see the not so happy side, meaning you don't have much money and therefore you're not happy. But if you've got enough money, whatever that looks like, I'm happy. My question is, what is your secret to happiness? Maybe it's something else. Well, in a very engaging way, the songbook of Scripture, that's how we've identified the Psalms correctly last week as we began this series called A Sermon and a Song. The songbook of Scripture, Psalms, begins with the word, the very first psalm in the Psalter, meaning hymn book of Psalms, the very first song and the very first word of the first song Ready? I've used it plenty already. Happy. My Bible's open to page 383 if you're going there in the chair Bible near you. Locate Psalm 1 and you'll see what I'm talking about. Let's just jump right in and discover how in my world, can I have happiness? Now, blessings in life, the kind that this first song describes, are conditional. Blessings in life are conditional, reserved for a special class of people, and definitely not available for everyone. Making you hopefully curious, am I in that class? Well, let's read and find out. Only six verses to this first song of the Psalms. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Almost blew by the word. It just rolls real quick, right? Happy is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Scoffers, says New American Standard. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaves do not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. There you have it. On a rare occasion, I watch The Price is Right. Used to be Bob Barker, now Drew Carey hosts this show. And on those occasions where I've watched, I've won countless cars and boats and trips. I'm really good as I watch that show. Maybe some of you are too. I especially love that moment in the show where they gather two people who've sort of won the most up to this point, and it's called the Showcase. I love how you reveal what you do with your day, okay? So the Showcase Showdown is a kind of a fun time, and you, like me, maybe some with a calculator, but others just in your head, you're going, okay, that costs, okay, there's 10,000. No, oh, that's a big trip. Let's see. 19,000. Okay, we're up to 22. A boat. Holy cow. That's a $48,000, right? And you're thinking it fast, right? And then the question is asked. The announcer says, this exciting showcase can be yours if the price is right. And you know what? My price is always right. Seriously, I think I won! Skittles looks up at me, our dog, and says, won what? No. Well, in a similar way, Psalm 1 opens with an offer for happiness. If you're taking notes, write this down. Happiness can be yours if your choice is right. Happiness can be yours if your choice is right. Let's go back to God's words now. Notice the opening word, blessed. You're going to love this. It's so colorful. It means, oh, how very happy. Oh, how very happy is the man who does not. And he goes to describe this man. See, there's nothing subtle about this. Blessed is the man who does not walk in again. This is huge stuff. This is, oh, how very happy. This is good stuff. It can be translated also, oh, the happiness multiplied many, many, many times over. So this is nothing little we're reading here. This happiness comes in many forms too. You could probably make your list. Vitality. Oh, the vitality. Oh, the health, the spiritual financial peace and joy that comes as a result of certain choices. Now, please, rest assured I am not presenting prosperity gospel. I'm not going there at all. Because I believe some of the most godly people tell stories of incredible poverty and pain and suffering. Okay, so you're misunderstanding my zeal if you conclude that. Most everyone I know, however, will sign up for stuff like, oh, how very happy. I mean, we want that kind of thing. We say, give me two scoops of it, please. I want a happiness like that that's being offered. Hopefully you're asking, so what are the choices? Happiness can be yours if your choice is right. Okay, what are the choices? Well, the first one's mentioned for us in verse 1. Say no to sin. That's how I would summarize verse 1. What's the first choice that you and I alike can make? We can say no to sin. Each one of the words used to describe a progression of a person who is saying yes to sin in verse 1. Notice, don't walk, he starts, with the wicked. Now, picture me right now. I'm walking. That's walking. And if I grab somebody right now and Dave and I began to just kind of walk along together, not to make Dave out to be the wicked here, but you get the illustration. We're kind of yucking it up a little bit. We're sipping a water, maybe a latte. It's casual contact and conversation that the writer has in mind. Does not walk with the wicked. We would say today, hanging out. That's a similar idea. It's flirting with the world and its ways. It can actually seem harmless at first. You go, what's the big deal? I mean, what's the problem here? But it's living on the edge that's being challenged here as unwise. And in fact, it's living your life in disregard, write this down, of Proverbs chapter 6, verses 27 and 28. Just listen to this statement. Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? Now, how would you answer that? It's obvious rhetorical questions. Of course not. If you've ever sat by a campfire and an ember pops out and lands on your lap, what's it do to your camp clothes or your camp chair? Yeah, it just happens that way. And I know there's people that say, oh no, I watched a guy walk on coals. Did you check his feet afterwards? There's blisters. Psalms is saying, don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. And then it leads to something further concerning. Don't stand with sinners, also in verse 1. Don't stand with sinners. That's where my walk with Dave slows down. And we stay a while. And I choose to keep the company of the corrupt. And I do so saying to myself things like, you know what, this isn't going to affect me. This won't touch me. This is not trouble for me. And when I think that way, I'm ignoring very strong warnings throughout the Bible. Let me give you one of my favorite that I've shared with youth for years. 1 Corinthians 15:33, and it starts out, do not be deceived. When you read a verse in the Bible that says, don't be deceived, why would that opening statement be there? Except, it's easy to fool yourself into thinking this won't be a problem for me, what I'm about to say. Let me finish the verse. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. It happens that way. So don't fool yourself into thinking it's not going to happen to you. When you do, you start to think like you're about to make a very damaging choice. You're starting to think about what's stated next, sitting with in the seat of mockers, making yourself at home, kicking your feet up with those who ridicule God. Instead of being around people like that and having it break your heart, you know your priority now? Blending in. Blending in. Sitting at the seat of mockers. Remember, God wants to heap on happiness to those who make certain choices. The first choice is to say no to sin. There's a second choice in the next verse, and it's a yes. Say yes to Scripture. His delight, this person's delight, is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. It's obvious, the first choice is negative. Say no to sin. Second choice, positive. Say yes to God's word. Did you catch the two words that are very powerful in verse 2? His delight is in the law of the Lord. His desire is for God's word. Now, why is this vital to having happiness? Here's why it's vital. Because in order for you and me to say no to sin, we've got to have our lives defined by an unchanging standard. See, because you can drift along and find it difficult to take a position without something that stands as an absolute, the Word of God. So it makes sense that on the heels of being told, say no to sin, the very next thing we're told, here's the standard by which you should live your life. Say yes to Scripture. Say yes to something that's unchanging, God's Word. So a couple of questions, because he's asking them. The first, do you delight in God's Word? Are the Scriptures a regular and continuing, constant part of your life? I don't know. I don't know your habits. It's really a question that only you can answer for you. Is the Word of God something I delight in? If you delight in it, it's going to likely show in another practice, also in verse 2, you meditate day and night, meditating on God's Word. I want you to think right now about something you cannot get your mind off. All right? Just reach into there. And for most of us, it's probably a negative. It's, stock market had a bad week. It's a bad health report. It's a relationship setback. Okay, it's that thing that just keeps kind of, it's a vortex that just keeps sucking you in, and you can't let it go. Okay, it's something that's on your mind right now as I'm having you imagine this thing, okay? Now, what does it do to you to meditate on it? Okay, think of it, the health thing, the finance thing, the relationship thing, the bad grade thing, whatever. What does it do to you when you think about it, meditate on it? Tell you what it does to me. I've had to battle this week. It breaks me down. It beats me down. It burdens me. It leaves me depressed. Leaves me defeated. Leaves me feeling very distracted and discouraged. I could go on and on. It leaves me in a bad place. And I suspect you're no different. Now here, flip it. Flip what I just had you do. And now, if it's God's word that you can't get off your mind, imagine the impact to you, to me. I'll give you a word for that impact. Transformed. Transformed. Do not be conformed to the world, we're told in Romans 12, 2, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of our minds on what? On God's word. That can't happen Sunday to Sunday. I do my best here, but it's got to happen tomorrow and Tuesday. And on the week goes. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind that we may prove the will of God to be that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Yeah. And with such a daily choice now to say no to sin and say yes to Scripture, there's a really great metaphor that follows in verse 3. It's a metaphor that brings some very attractive descriptions into focus for us about the kind of people we will look like. Let me say it this way. What do happy people look like? There are four characteristics. Tree-like standout qualities. You'll see that when you look back at verse 3. This person that says no to sin, who says yes to Scripture, to God's Word, who delights in it and meditates on it, this person is like a tree planted by streams of water, yielding its fruit in season, leaves do not wither, whatever he does prospers. Let's break that down. The four tree-like qualities. The first is planted, right? It's like a tree planted. That's the word for rooted, solid, near the source of its strength. You picture a tree that's near the source of water, and it will be a tree that stands out as strong. This tree is planted near streams of water. Notice, secondly, this tree, this person who says no to sin, yes to Scripture, is a person who is fruitful. See that? Verse 3. Yields fruit in season. Where does fruit come from? Well, roots that go deep into God. That's where fruit comes from. And notice he says, in season. That's a picture from the harvest, isn't it? You who are gardeners get it. You plant and you water and you apply fertilizer, and then this afternoon you go out and pick blueberries and have fresh blueberries for dinner, right? Not so fast. What goes on? Well, you'll be glad to know I did my homework. My backyard, where we live, is almost share a fence, just a few fences away from Blueberry Hill over off Roy Rogers Road. And yes, I am tempted every season to cheat and hop the fence and get all the blueberries I want for free, but I don't do that. I have to pay for them. I know it's owned by a family that a street in our neighborhood is named after. I married one of the sons of this family, actually, officiated at the wedding. So we have a friendship, me and Gary, and I called him this week. I said, hey, you got to give me the scoop on blueberries. Tell me how they work. I said, you know, I'm every time July rolls around, I join a swarm of people, and we're in there filling buckets with blueberries and other berries. How does that work? I said, here's my question. When we're done picking in July or early August, do you guys just kind of go count the cash and let her go until next summer when people show up again in July? He laughed. He said, no, actually, I'll tell you what we do. He says, after the picking is done, post-picking, then another sort of army of people move in, and they begin to prune the plants. And then later into the winter months, they spray them with some kind of a disease spray. Anti-disease spray that keeps them healthy. What's anti-disease? What's that? Yeah, one of those. Bad disease killers. So anyway, and they spray them to protect these blueberries, the bushes, from disease. I said, oh, that's it. Oh, no. He says from March through May then, another effort is underway to cover them and pour out fertilizer in bounty. I said, okay, you're good, right? Then July rolls around, we pick. Oh, no, no, no. From May until post-picking, we water them like crazy. And along the way, they try a few other things to scare the birds off, but it doesn't work. Lots involved in order for blueberries to produce fruit in season. You and I spend time in God's Word. We meditate. We cultivate it. It deals with disease in our life. It nurtures us within. And then eventually when picking season comes, guess what? There's fruit. And then there's also stability. See that? Leaf does not wither. Stable. Unwithered. Even when intense pressure hits, even when hard times come, when heat and wind hit the tree doesn't droop or die because it is stable. And then I love this last one. Whatever he does prospers. It's like a tree. Prosperous. Flourishing. With happiness multiplied many times over. You know, later in this same song book of Scripture, Psalm 92 records these words. Just listen to them. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree, says verse 12 of Psalm 92. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like the cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will stand strong. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. Isn't that great? I mean, fruit doesn't just come for young trees. It keeps coming and stands strong. And there's more fruit forthcoming. Don't you desire that kind of happiness? I mean, I find it very attractive. The Bible assumes that you do, by the way, that you want that. And clearly outlines here for us the choices that you and I can and must make to have it. Remember what I said at the beginning this morning, that these blessings belong to a special class of people and aren't available for everyone? Next in this song is the group that can lay no claim whatsoever to God's blessing. The wicked. Verse 4. This is a picture of when happiness can't be yours. When this happiness multiplied many times over, you can forget about it. It's not so with the wicked. All of the tree-like qualities in verse 3 that we just covered, four of them, all of those are in strong contrast to verse 4 and what the wicked can expect. God's view of them is not to be missed. They resemble chaff, the outer portion or husk of the seed. And it's light and it just blows away very easily. Can you say contrast? The wicked are like chaff, gone. The righteous are like trees and they stand steady. And they say, bring on the wind, baby. See? It's different. Completely different. The wicked, secondly, cannot stand in judgment. The wicked will not stand, verse 5, in judgment. The person who refuses to say no to Scripture or to sin and refuses to say yes to God and to God's Word, who dismisses God from his or her life, won't stand a chance when face to face with God. In judgment. I want you to please listen very carefully. The judgment referred to here in verse 5, the judgment referred to is a judgment based on God's knowledge of you and of me. Verse 6 tells us so. The Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. What that means to me is he's not misled by spin. God is not somehow fooled into thinking differently about us than reality suggests. He is the omniscient God who knows everything about us and knows the most personal part of us, our hearts. He knows it all. And based on his appraisal, the godly prosper and the ungodly perish. Okay. Presented in this song as a clear and very compelling choice. You can choose life and blessing which begins and is built on a relationship with Jesus Christ. Or you can reject Jesus. And by doing so, forfeit his offer to bring you happiness multiplied many times over. Which do you choose? I'd like you to bow your heads with me this morning. If in your pursuit of happiness, and you know what? It's not wrong to want to be happy. It's not. It's not at all. But if in your pursuit of happiness you haven't chosen Jesus, then can I just say something gently but very honestly? There's a reason that your joy, your happiness is only temporary. Did you hear what I said? If you've tried happiness a lot of different ways, if I just found a better job, just had a better relationship, and it brings you a temporary bump, but it's not lasting, there's a reason for that. There's a reason it's temporary. It was never meant to deliver lasting happiness. Blessing. It's like a car that loses its luster and eventually just wears out. So too will all other sources of happiness without Jesus. So Jesus invites you this morning, invites me as well, to change all of that by coming to him. If you'd like to do that today, you've never done that. You've really squeezed hard at life to get pleasure in lots of other ways, but it's never really been Jesus on his terms. I want you to just close your eyes and pray to him right now. Follow my prompting. Jesus, I see the choice that is before me. The choice that leads to life and blessing. Or perishing. Today, Jesus, I'm not sure all the implications in this, but I choose blessing. I choose you. I kneel before you now so I can stand before you on that day that we meet face to face, that you talk about to prepare me for it. Help me to daily say no to sin. Help me to daily say yes to the scriptures and to you through your word. And keep in clear view daily. Help me, God, to keep in clear view the consequences of either choice. If you just prayed with me that prayer, I'm confident that something big began just now for you. Might be a small beginning, but it will lead to huge. If you want help walking with Jesus, please contact me or the office this week, and we will put you in touch with someone that can walk with you as a friend. Help you to say no to sin. say yes to Scripture and to God. I asked you earlier to fill out prayer requests if you had needs. Now's the time to reach for those as the plates pass and we sing a final song. If you prayed that prayer today, you'll sing it differently. Let's stand together and let's sing.